As I observe the mood of the culture that has evolved within our nation over these recent years, it would seem clear that there's a rapid drift towards anger and bitterness and resentment taking place. And I would suggest that that is intentionally so. Some who hear me say those words might disagree as to the intentionality of it all. And perhaps I'm seeing things that aren't there. But nonetheless, most of us would agree that yes, this present-day generation is far more easily angered than any other generation that we have ever experienced in our lifetimes. And as we proceed on into what these scriptures call the last days, we're told there that the love of many will wax cold. The love of many will wax cold. And that truly does seem to be some of what is taking place all around us each day. The subject that our Lord wants us to consider within this scripture passage given to us here today is what he calls offenses. Offenses. Both those times and those matters that we get involved in, which we might, by our own words, our own actions, our behaviors, offend other people. And also those times when we ourselves are being offended by the people around us. And while, yes, here the Lord Jesus is obviously teaching us about offenses that are of a spiritual nature, as we well know, even the most secular of matters can also be intermixed with and have a spiritual context, making it sometimes hard to conveniently separate out those things that are spiritual and those things that are secular. Let's read these words of our Lord here in Luke chapter 17 and carefully consider what he's teaching us with them. There in verse 1, he tells us, "Then he," the Lord Jesus, "said to the disciples, 'It's impossible that no offenses, no stumbling blocks, no temptations to sin should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him.'" May I begin by asking us the question, what are those things that are offensive to us? Those things that are stumbling blocks, those many things of our day that bring temptations to us to sin? Very honestly, given a moment to consider the question, I can think of a lot of things that fit those words well. And probably so can you. Those who drive too closely behind me offend me. Yes, they really are a threat to me and to my family. But probably, equally so, they're just plain offensive to me. Insisting on being exactly in the same place my car is while I'm still there. Why can't they be content to remain a safe distance away? A question. Is that the kind of offense that Jesus was speaking about here as he was teaching his disciples? Probably so. Probably so, at least to some degree. Because for me, I found that my anger can quickly and foolishly get out of hand, leading to even more serious responses. But in these words from the Lord Jesus, I would suggest that he was far more concerned with other more serious forms of stumbling blocks of offense, especially offenses of a spiritual nature. And through these words, he wanted his disciples then, and he wants you and me now to know and to understand and to accept that in this world, offenses and stumbling blocks and temptations to sin of every kind will surely come to us. They are inevitable. Inevitable. And we really should not be surprised when they take place. And neither should we be consumed with insisting that there be anything different. If we do, we will live a life that is filled with one disappointment and frustration after another. And why would that be so? Why does Jesus tell us here that it is inevitable that offenses will be a continual way of life for each one of us? It's because it simply is the natural way of every human heart born on this earth. And that without exception. Without exception. Again, those familiar words that I have quoted to us so often from Jeremiah chapter 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know their own hearts? This truth is given to us by our Lord plainly and simply, and it's without exception. Without exception. A newspaper cartoon character of times past, Pogo, would often quote the adage, "We have met the enemy, and he is us." We have met the enemy, and he is us. And folks, that is so. That is so. The human personality seems naturally fitted for just such a condition. Each and every one of us is born into this world with a heart that is deceitful and desperately wicked, firmly fixed upon self and the desires of self. We want all that our eyes can see, and we want all things to be done in our way. And when our wants and our needs are ignored or denied, we become offended. We become offended. It is simply the way of a self-centered heart. And again, yes, without exception, each of us absolutely does have the same inclination. And so then, with such a bent fully consuming us, we each, to some degree or another, go throughout our day either offending the other people around us or else ourselves being offended by them, always wearing our feelings on our shirt sleeves and daring anyone else to touch us. Our living daily in the crowded teenager-filled environment of the school where we worked for so many, many years, we were able to see all of those self-centered personality traits so very clear. Yes, some teenagers are shy, and their self-centeredness is a bit more passive. But folks, it's still clearly there. It's still there. Walking down a hallway or through a doorway, if one person bumps into another one and doesn't immediately acknowledge them and apologize to them, offense is taken. Offense is taken. How dare they do that? But folks, as adults, we are often no different. No different. Yes, with age, we've learned to hide our offenses a bit better, but those feelings are still there. And often, our offenses will take place with our closest of friends and family members. If we don't immediately see a response that we're looking for, we're offended. We're offended. It doesn't matter that that person intended offense or not. We take it anyway. I confess to you that I have that kind of offense present within my own dear family. During a very emotional time that took place within our family, I either did or did not do something that I was expected to do. And though I intended no offense, offense was taken, and that offense has been long-lasting and no forgiveness in sight. And yes, again, offense can be a two-way occurrence. Sometimes we're the offender. At other times, we're the one that's being offended. All these things are what Jesus is warning us about. Because of the sinful nature that's born into our souls at birth, offense in one form or another is inevitable, and it's continual. And with our self-centered, touchy, thin-skinned nature and attitude, we should expect nothing less. Verse 1 again. It is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Here, within these words, Jesus doesn't give way to debate or to the what-ifs that each of us seem to always get caught up in. He instead goes straight to the point. He said, offenses will take place, but woe to the person through whom those offenses come. May I say at this point that accidentally bumping into a person and being too consumed with your own self-interest to stop and to apologize is wrong. That's wrong. But such things are only, folks, they are only the tip of the iceberg of offenses. And while Jesus really does want us to begin with those more minor offenses, these next words of Jesus cause us to know that far greater offenses can and they will take place, and that we must be very careful in our handling of those offenses. He said, woe to him through whom the offenses come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. As I studied through these words in my Greek lexicon, I found that while there are similar words that bespeak offense, sometimes of a minor and unintentional kind, these particular words of the Lord Jesus also bespeak a far more serious form of offense, a far more serious form of offense. These words translated here as offense and offend are from the Greek word skandalon and skandalazio, from which we get the words scandal and scandalous. They imply circumstances and incidents that are scandalous, that employ trickery, an enticement, and a desire to trap a person within a tangled web, intentionally becoming a stumbling block and a tempter towards sin. The word picture being drawn for us here by the Lord Jesus assumes two characters, one that's perhaps innocent or naive, but the other character is not. And this offender is deliberate, intentional, and conniving in their offenses. It's God's desire that you and I be the first character in this word picture, innocent children, giving no offense and being careful about our offenses of others. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus, addressing the question about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God, he called a little child to him, and he set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. And then Jesus went on to say words that are very similar to the one in our passage today. He said there in verse 7, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses will come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes and to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. As you hear these words, are you able to understand the severity with which our Lord considers these offenses? When the word despise is used in these scriptures, it means to think of someone as having little or no value at all. And that truly is a very serious matter to our Lord, and it will cause very serious consequences for those who callously think of his little ones as being of little or no value at all. And note in these words that their angel is right there with them, making their report to God. Nothing, no offense, no temptation of any kind is ever hidden from God. He knows full well when you cause one of his little ones to sin. And note also within these words that Jesus addressed two groups of possible offenders. He spoke first about the unbelieving world. Verse 7, "Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes." But then, in the very next verse, he began to address you and me, believers, who can also be guilty of offense. Verse 8, "If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life lame or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes and be cast into hell fire. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Now, while you and I can't lose our salvation once we are truly saved, here Jesus saw fit to go ahead and warn us about the severity of such a sin as this, of offending those little ones. And please understand that these words imply two forms of offenses and temptations. Those offenses and temptations that we might bring to another person, yes. But these words also speak about those offenses and temptations that we might even bring to ourselves, to our own souls. We cannot, we dare not foolishly flaunt tempting circumstances before our own eyes. We really must do as Joseph did when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. We must immediately flee from those temptations. As the old servant Job said, "Put a guard over my eyes." Oh, dear Christian, this is a stern warning that's being given here, and we dare not allow our own souls to get involved in offenses and in temptations. As we've said so often, our lives are a continual stream of choices, God allowing us to become involved in many different circumstances and conditions, but then allowing us to make our free will choices, all the while Him desiring for us to will to do His will. Oh, dear Christian, as Jesus is telling us here, we are the body of Christ, and we must guard ourselves and the other members of the body of Christ very carefully. We truly do have need of one another. Fellow church members and fellow believers, we cannot function well at all without each other. And if we become offensive to another part of the body of Christ, they will separate themselves out from us, and then neither of us can help the other. Listen to the way that the Lord describes our need for each other there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 25, we read that there must be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Folks, within this body of Christ, the believing community are most all of those little ones that the Lord Jesus is teaching about here in our scripture passage. And it's His desire that you and I intentionally and deliberately show love and honor and respect towards one another, protecting one another. All those little ones within the believing community, including ourselves, our own souls. Because no place is given for us to be self-centered, self-seeking, offensive people. Such offenders simply do not fit. They do not fit within the believing community of God. Now, with all of that being said, because the Lord Jesus warns us within these words that it seems inevitable that offenses and temptations will come to us, may we go back and repeat some of these warnings that our Lord is giving. His beginning words again. There He says, "Then He said to the disciples, 'It's impossible that that no offenses, no stumbling blocks, no temptations to sin should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. Now, hearing these words and understanding clearly the makeup of our human heart, Jesus gives us this stern warning, telling us that even though we are part of the believing community, and even though we know better than to go around offending each other, for some foolish reason, we still do it. And why is that? Why is that? It's because a corrupt residue from that deceitful and desperately wicked heart that was born into us at birth will still remain within us all the days of our lives. And here Jesus tells us what we're supposed to do, what we're commanded to do when one part of the body of Christ is offensive to another part of it. Here he tells us, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Oh, dear Christian, as we are clearly told in another part of these scriptures, anger is never allowed to be held overnight. Offenses are to be dealt with and forgiven. Grudges are never, never to be allowed to develop. Forgiveness is the answer, the only answer, and no exceptions are permitted. No exceptions are permitted. And as Jesus tells us here, it really does not matter if our neighbor is a repeat offender. We are simply to be a repeat forgiver. He tells us, take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now you might ask, but what if he or she does not repent? Folks, that is not your part of the dealings. That is not your part of the dealings. That is between that person and the Lord. The Lord will deal with his or her unrepentant heart. Your response and my response is plain and simple. It is to obey Christ, to gently rebuke our brother or our sister in the Lord, and then leave the rest of the matter to the Lord. And yes, we are to be forgiving of that offender regardless of whether or not they repent. Why? It's because if you or I hold on to an offense against a person, it can easily develop into a sinful bitterness corrupting our own heart. And that must never be allowed. That must never be allowed. We really must be humble and recognize when the problem is within the heart of that other person, and we must not allow one to develop within our own heart. And also, yes, there may be times when we should obey the instruction that's given later on here in Matthew chapter 18 and take our unrepentant brother or sister to the elders of the church. But may we leave that discussion for another day and simply leave our instruction for today being, take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Pray with me, will you? Oh, dear Father, Holy Spirit, help us to not be offensive to other people, to not cause those little ones to sin. Oh, guard us against the temptations that come to us, but also guard us from being a tempter. Help us. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.